is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. My name, as usual, is Leonard Sands.
And my name, as usual, is Debbie Deal.
And depending on how things go this afternoon, we both might consider changing it. But for right now, those are the names you could refer to us by.
Yes.
Also, Debbie, we have no guests on the Thursday. So it's going to be you and I chopping it up.
Okay.
Talking about construction. And as always, I'm looking at the daily and weekly stuff that happens in our country. And we seem to have a lot of stuff happening or seemingly happening infrastructure-wise, development-wise. You know, we're in election year and everyone's doing something somewhere. And I say everyone, meaning the government. What I found interesting in this week, I think it was part of last week's information that came across the public's sphere, was the $30 million now proposed allocation for the Department of Housing, which I think is good. The $20 million that they had the first time got us 200 and something odd homes. They got $30 million. We should get another 300 and something odd homes, which again, makes a little dent, helps some persons who can't afford to qualify otherwise, and it's a good thing. Now, both you and I have agreed that you could get more bang for your buck if you create mid-rise. I don't want people to say high-rise.
Right.
I'm not proposing that mid-rise, which I would say no more than 4 to 5 stories. Condo buildings. I don't want to call them apartments because people get defensive when
townhouse
you call people
complexes.
House, townhouse complexes, where again, you have a smaller footprint on the ground, require smaller, less land mass, but you have the same kind of home ownership as you have in single family hot house and land and 5,000 square foot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's some things that I think we could continue to
when
look
you
at.
Think about, you said $20 million got them how many houses?
Got them 200 and something odd houses. So about $200,000 a house.
Really, that doesn't sound like very many houses for that kind of money.
Well, it's $200,000 a house. I don't know if, Debbie, you're going to build a house cheaper than $200,000 in 2026?
No.
I'm surprised they get the houses at that price point, but I do understand the size.
So. Is that the house or the house and the property?
It's the whole package.
Oh, wow.
Now,
okay.
You can't do that.
No.
So that's the land
no.
and the house.
No.
Infrastructure included.
It just seems almost impossible that how will the Bahamas, if we need 12,000 homes in the Bahamas, right?
Mm.
First of all, where are we going to get the land from? We don't need to build any more in swamp land because we know what happens when you do that. But the amount of houses, can you imagine? How many million dollars would that be?
Several hundred, probably a billion.
Yeah.
12,000. You just take the take that 200,000 and multiply it by 11,000.
And then you've
got
to get the banks to give mortgages to all 12,000 of those.
Well, the banks won't complain. They'll enjoy it.
Well, I don't see too many banks lending money right now for residential.
They lend money not to build. They lend money to buy. Your realtor friends are having a field day.
Mm-hmm.
They're into buying. They don't want the headache of construction, which is a challenge for us now in the construction industry. Because if the market is shifting, and this is kind of where I see things heading, the market is shifting towards home buying rather than home building. But with that, it presents an opportunity for contractors. Now, I know, Debbie, this is not your bag here at all. But for some contractors who want to take the risk, build houses and sell them. I say that because you got to find the money to build it. So that means you got to go find the $200,000 or let's say $170,000.
No, that's basically what I wanted to do when I first started doing construction. I didn't want to do it any other way than that.
Yeah,
but it was.
It's difficult because you got to come up with the capital yourself.
Yeah, and then again, finding the property too that it's in a good location and there was so many things. So many things that have to go along with that.
So let me share with the listening audience for a comparison. If Debbie or I would now want to compete with the government, this is what we need to do. You have to find a plot of land that's gonna be no more than $55,000. That's the first challenge you have.
Oh, that must be another country.
That's the first thing. She has to compete with them.
Yeah.
So right, you're 50. Mm-hmm. You already started. Let's say 50,000. You got 50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then, for about a 950 square foot, 3-2, 3-bed, 2-bath.
Okay.
You need to be able to get that built and completed for 200,000 or less. So you're already at 250, and the ceiling of which all of their product is less than 250.
Sorry.
Yeah. So that's difficult. And out of that, you want to make some type of profit, which I don't see how you get it if you're going to be capped below 200K on the house and all that stuff. And then you're making nothing on the land, Debbie. So as a developer, you're selling a product almost at cost or less than cost, and you're going to do this multiple times now. As a business owner, why would you even attempt to do that?
No, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. So there were questions people ask, why don't contractors do this? Because to compete with the dominant player, which is the government of the Bahamas, you can't meet their price point. There are other players in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Check the price point.
Yeah.
Check the price point.
Mm-hmm.
I won't call their name, but I know the price point for their product, and they are the second dominant market.
Mm-hmm.
You're just under 300K, and some of their models are just over 300K. Only the government of Bahamas is offering a product under $200,000 for a 3-2. It's just not something that a commercial developer can do.
And if you do it, and then you have to find the customer, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're finding the customer, then you have to find a bank that's going to work with you and make sure that the persons that, you know,
the legal fees got to be discounted, everything.
But the persons that they're vetting are going to be able to actually follow through with a 25 or 30 year mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
well, you could get, you probably follow the same process and get salary deduction and all of that stuff.
Yeah, if you're doing enough of
If you're doing it through, well, obviously you're going to offer your home product to government employees and persons who are salaried and get salary deduction because you want to take away the headache, right? And then they have to qualify because you could get salary deduction for a lot of government employees, but they may not have enough space in their cab.
It's a lot. I still, honestly, I drive around Nassau. I drive in all different areas of Nassau, and there are so many vacant houses, and there's so much. If you lived in Canada, or if you lived in Germany, or if you lived in England, you could not have a derelict building like that. But the reason we don't, I guess the reason we don't do anything with it is, first of all, we don't have a blue book, so you don't really know.
You don't know.
You don't really know even who owns the house. You don't really know. Did somebody die?
You have an idea.
Did they die? Did they get divorced? What happened for them to walk away from it?
That's the first difference.
Right. And then who's going to... We should have a law where if you buy a house or build a house, you must maintain at least the front of that house on a regular basis. The sidewalk has to be clean. The grass has to be mowed. The front has to look good. That's what it is in every other country. Because if you don't do that,
the people
next to you
are going to suffer.
It lowers the property value. But it's just ridiculous how you end up with seeing a house where you've got trees growing out of it. Well, but
yes, I know the government, out of it.
I know the government doesn't have the money to actually go bulldoze all of these houses, even if they were to get permission to do it, whether it's through eminent domain or whatever. But still, the persons, I don't know. We have problems with persons dumping garbage. We have problems with rats and raccoons. We have ICAB never his whole life.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry
an issue too.
For them this week.
This
mean,
is becoming an issue.
Truthfully, there must be something that could be done legally where those properties could be
improved
and
put
or
in a pool for the state, and the state then
and or they fix a value with it, and let's say you buy it for that value, and when they find out who owns it, that the funds would go to that person or that family. I don't know. There's got to be some way that they can actually do it because it's a mess.
Or, okay, let's say we look at it and say, okay, you have all these properties that are vacant and dilapidated and what's not. All right. If you don't attend to it for 10, 15, 20 years, it becomes part of the public pool of resources that then the government takes on the responsibility to rehabilitate and make it available for social services.
Well, I would say that if the house has been derelict for that period of time, no one has been paying the taxes on the home.
Of course not.
Right?
Yeah.
So that money that they would have had to have paid would have accumulated over the years, and there may not be nothing left for that person or those people left over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
There has to be something because we have all of these properties that could be homes for people without really having to find the property. And maybe you might be able to, even if you keep the house up to belt course, right? You know, some of them, the roof is no good, but the rest of it, you know.
You have to
do rough plumbing and rough electrical and all that kind of stuff. But to me, it just, the country is looking worse and worse and worse.
And there are
and in better subdivisions you drive through and it's even worse and worse and worse, and everybody's so interested in brand new, you know what I mean?
Nothing better than a great street with a great house on it, and all you need to do is rehabilitate that house.
Thank you.
Nothing better than that.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to talk about again in this construction vein, because we're going to talk all construction today.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a lot of new things that I like to see in construction. I see we're getting a little smarter with some of our materials that we use.
Mm-hmm.
the public is becoming more energy conscious. The public, in mass, I believe, is. I see a lot of people when I go to the stores looking for energy efficient bulbs, looking for, you know, the things that drive down the cost of the energy. Mm-hmm. And I think the real conversation is going to happen for everybody. Because I know we have, you know, some of your friends, Debbie, are solar power suppliers and, mm-hmm. and things. The real conversation is going to happen when the consumer is able to afford to be able to take advantage of the things that they desire. And when I say that, a residential solar system could probably cost you anyway between $20,000 or slightly less, right?
For what, say?
A solar system to do the entire home.
$20,000?
I mean,
maybe 40?
You probably could 50? Get it. You probably could get it for but probably $25,000. Now, again, your home is not going to be gigantic. But, you know, you probably could get it to happen. But wouldn't
without
it be cool?
Without batteries,
right,
maybe.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Wouldn't it be cool if whole communities could be solar? Entire communities.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have microgrids.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's say that. Let's say you, because the price comes down enough that an entire community, let's say Yellow Elder, let's say Stapleton, let's say whatever, could mm-hmm. have the whole area with every home mm-hmm. with solar. Now, what I love about solar is that if it ain't raining, it comes up every day. It's going to stay up for 12 hours and give you all that sunlight. That's not a bad thing at all. That's a great thing. And nations, I think I didn't send you something. The China is putting solar panels all over the mountains now. The mm-hmm. places where you could never go and climb anyway. And they're just using all that space. Because mm-hmm. they're all in with solar.
Right.
And I love it. Like I say, mm-hmm. I'm fan number one of that country in terms of its innovation. Mm-hmm. I just think it got it right. In fact, more than 48% of all power in the country mm-hmm. is solar.
So they must
That's
have
a
they
big
must be
country.
They must be using batteries as backup then.
Yeah.
They have to have batteries
and whatnot. But yeah. Their whole deal mm-hmm. is we're getting away from fossil fuel.
Right.
The whole deal is, yeah, that's old technology now. The sun's out there. We got plenty of sun. We got plenty of land mass. Let's do this. And I think while we are making improvement towards it, and I don't want to knock the government, I think they're making some steps. We need to encourage the public to do more of it. But you can only encourage them if they can afford to it. I'd love to have solar too. But Debbie, like you're saying, with the batteries of 40K, I could buy a lot of groceries.
Yeah, well, the electricity bills the last 2 years have been absolutely ridiculously insane. My December and January bill, though, was extremely low.
Mm-hmm, mine too.
Yeah, and I looked at it, and before it was five different charges that were
mine too.
And now we're down to three.
Exactly.
Yes.
The fuel surcharge
yes.
still is triple my bill, my energy bill.
Mm-hmm.
My fuel surcharge is still tripled energy bill.
Right.
That's
insane.
Got to fix.
Yeah.
I don't even understand how the fuel that you use to create my energy mm-hmm. is three times the cost of the energy that is created from the fuel. That makes no sense to me.
And again, because BPL is kind of like a non-profit, like they're
I don't know if they're non-profit.
No, I'm not saying it right.
Oh, okay.
They have to actually produce the product and get it to you and, you know, like safe, reliable and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have to do that for the citizens.
Yes.
When they're buying their fuel, if the fuel goes ridiculously high, they can't absorb that because they're not making money in other ways, right?
Grab your glasses, Debbie. No, mm-hmm. grab your glasses. Mm-hmm. That's my bill. Mm-hmm. See that line there?
Yeah.
That's the kilowatt cost. That's the fuel.
Yeah, well, that's the fuel under 800.
Yeah.
That's the fuel under 800.
I know.
I'll show you mine. Mine is over. but that's only 0.17 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you see what it is, Debbie? Mm-hmm. It's the cost is $113, mm-hmm. and the energy it's only $54.25. That's not fuel. One is fuel. See, this fuel, this is energy. The line above is energy, and that's fuel.
Right. That's how many kilowatts you use.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's so that's energy.
At a regular rate.
Yeah.
Of 11 cents.
11 cents. Right. And that's the fuel.
Right. Under.
Under right. 800 kilowatts.
17, which is good because it was almost $29. Mine was 29 cents
yeah.
before. I got to show you mine.
So we say all this to say mm-hmm. our biggest challenge still is the cost of fuel. And as a country, if we could get away from fuel, it means that all of us benefit from the reduction in the cost of fuel. Mm-hmm. I want home ownership to be considered something that we nationally understand that everything is a running cost. Debbie, you've owned your home for how much years now?
40 years.
Okay. And every month, you get an energy bill. Mm-hmm. One of these days, go in a spreadsheet and take the 40 years of you owning that and paying whatever X you pay a month and how much money you spent outside of the mortgage, outside of owning the home, just on electricity.
I think I've only got 30-year bills. I saved them. Okay.
Yeah, but that's...
I've always saved them because it's insane.
It's only 12 years, so tally it and see what that number comes to. It's still another cost. So when you think about a home, and I think this is what the public and the younger generation need to understand. When you get a home, that's the beginning of it, actually.
Well, actually, one of the committees that I sit on as a stakeholder representing the BCA is the National Adaptation mm-hmm. Plan. And it's just insane when you think about what we actually have to do as a country with regard to climate change and everything else that we're going through, and the cost of everything that has to be done. And it's just there's almost I don't see how to change it. I really don't know how to see to change it.
We have to spend the money. We love to spend the money. So that's one riding cost with home ownership. And so I encourage persons, look at the size of your home. Look at what you want to spend on maintaining your home and it costs to run your home. And so those are costs that you have to consider and think about. We don't consider the energy efficiency too much of, let's say, you know, like in the States and in Canada, the windows and what's not. And they have some residual factors to how they calculate the energy draw and what's not in your home. Not so much here in the Bahamas. But the size of your home is still the biggest contributor to everything.
See,
the size of your home.
The bottom fuel, which is under the
800, and then the top.
is 21 cents, 21.4 cents.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So basically, if you add up 139 and 102, that's... 241
yeah.
of the bill
mm-hmm. it's just
fuel.
Wow. They got you good.
Yeah. They
did. That's a big fuel bill.
Yeah.
I could ride my truck for a month and a half. I'd like to have the fuel in my truck. So going back to that, that's a consideration. And I want us the mindset of to be, how do I make my home so affordably efficient that if COVID happens again, I could maintain my home and run my home. If whatever natural disaster happens, if whatever catastrophic thing happens, you can maintain your home. That's mm-hmm. got to be an important thing because
right.
I got a two-story house. You got a two-story house on a sloping hill. Mm-hmm. I don't want to scaffold my house at any point in time in the future to
Never.
Do anything. It's a lot of scaffolding.
Yeah. I think, when you're building a new home, it's very easy to just go ahead and purchase the windows that you want mm-hmm. and the doors, the ones that are energy efficient, the ones that are
impact resistant,
that kind of thing. They're expensive. Mm-hmm. But when you think about that, climate change is alive and well and living in the Bahamas. And when you think about summers, I mean, when the summers are getting hotter.
Yeah, I didn't even turn off my AC.
And, you know,
I didn't turn it off.
15, 20 years ago when we were talking about energy efficiency and about how persons who don't have air conditioning are going to have no choice but to have air conditioning. Mm-hmm. And the persons that would suffer the most would be the elderly, the persons that are on pensions and may not have enough money to do it,
yeah.
or the physically challenged persons that they can't do anything, that are just basically living off of whatever funds that they actually can get. And it's just, when you think about it, that expense with that will protect you from a hurricane as well as keep your energy costs down, right, is something that is a major thing that you should consider.
Yeah.
And if you're retrofitting, that would be the first thing I would do.
Because you're going to have to tackle the comfort level of living. And that's another thing. If you don't make your home comfortable, it becomes an additional frustration that you're paying for this home. And it's not comfortable for you.
Right. So
that's not great.
Let's talk Canada again. So when you get a house in Canada, again, they're made out of plywood and felt and all that ridiculousness, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, the windows and doors are insulated. And they are, like I said, my mother would leave her door open and just have the screen door there that had the glass that would, you know, a sliding up window. But no heat escaped. No cold came in. So they have a code. You cannot just build a house. You can't go to the store down the road and there's no codes for the wind and it's cheaper. You can't do that.
No.
And truthfully, it's very, very seldom that an individual actually builds their own home. And it's generally developers that do that. It's like that. It looks very organized.
Yeah.
Here, we don't do that. We just, you know, we got property in the subdivision. Let's say Sunset Park or something like that, and everybody builds their own thing.
Yeah, there are no large housing developments outside of a couple that we've seen in our country.
Yeah, like Charlottesville, or is that what you mean?
I'm talking about like out east.
Oh, okay, like Twynham.
No. I'm talking about
Treasure Cove.
Treasure Cove.
Oh.
Treasure Cove was one of the first housing development models that is just like what you see in Canada or the United States. There's only about three or four types of models inside the development. And every house, every street look the same. If you don't know where you're going, you get lost because all the houses kind of look the same. And,
yes.
Yeah, and because that was a developer-driven project.
And the houses are 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
So you can basically listen to what everybody's saying and look in their windows
and
say, I need to borrow some sugar. Let's just pass it through the
floating
foundations.
Floating foundations.
Yeah.
Floating foundations. Yeah. So developers could do their own thing. But they made the price point.
Yeah.
It was very attractive.
Today, a lot of people live there.
A lot of people living in today. They're benefiting from that because they're getting a nice coin for resale now.
Yes.
But they were going for a very low price when they first finished them. So yeah, that's something I think we have to look at. But again, the major developer to that point is the government of Bahamas, the Department of Housing. If you go through Carmichael Village right now, which I like, I think it's a good development by the Department of Housing. The models look very nice. Built by a lot of Bahamian contractors. I'm doing a fantastic job. And so it's a different parallel. You got on the eastern end, a private developer did it. Now you got in the central, in the Providence. The government did a couple of them, but this one to me is the shining star. Because it has mixed use. It has in there 5,000 square foot lots and houses. It has in there mid-rise. It's only two stories. Apartment condo blocks, several of them. And I believe there's also plans for townhouses in this one community. So this community will have a mix of all of it.
But that's really a community.
That's really a community.
That's a real community.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you live in an area, not everybody has to have the same kind of house, right?
Exactly.
There's no reason why. You may still make $50,000 a year, but you don't want to have a house.
No.
You don't want to do the maintenance.
You
want a condo or a townhouse or a high rise. You may only want a balcony to put your tomato plants on.
Yeah, the options are there, and I think that's what makes that community very attractive. And I think that becomes, and I've said it before publicly, that will become the model for every single government sponsored.
Let's hope it is
housing division. Mass housing division that's going to be in the future. I can see that being the model. Now, that being said, the houses, they got to be down park. But what makes a community is community. Mm-hmm. Now, I see a lot of houses. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of houses. I see a lot of living spaces.
Like parks and that kind of thing?
No parks.
Oh.
I just see houses.
Oh.
And I imagine there will be a park because no residential community that the government builds does not have a park. Mm-hmm. But you need more than that. Mm-hmm. I think in there you need a space where people congregate.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a
community
center in your community.
Slash hurricane shelter.
Shelter in your community.
In your community.
So that's the additional thing I would impress that they consider. In your community, in this brand new spanking community, have a community center slash hurricane center in the community.
Right.
So for whatever reasons, I may feel uncomfortable. My grandmother's old and she's nervous. And we could go to the community center and take refuge there rather than have to go out the community to go to your church, Debbie, and find refuge there or go to some other space.
Right. Because everybody wants to be close to their home.
Everyone wants to be close to their home.
They want, after the hurricane, they don't want to have to go and find out that somebody's been in there and robbed them and taken everything. And
they got two stresses.
Yeah, you lost your roof and you lost everything in your house. You know, really.
Yeah, you don't need
that. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And community centers are good because that's where you can have your town hall meetings with your minister.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you can do all kinds of different things. It's not just where you play basketball or something like that, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many other benefits to having a community center.
Mm-hmm. And again, we're seeing that is... I see a lot of them popping up. I think we now got at least three under construction that I'm aware of, and plans for several others in the other communities. I do not know where the community center in Grants Down, but they need to figure that out because Centerville has one now almost nearing completion.
Oh my goodness, that's beautiful.
It's beautiful and big. Mm-hmm. It's a big community, but I don't see Bain and Grants Down having one yet. So, Mr. Minister, Mr. Member of Parliament, Mr. Watson, this is the end of your first term in office, and don't be like all the other members of Parliament for being in Grants Down over the last 52 years of this country.
Because there is a park, but there's nothing in the park. It's just a park.
Yeah, park. We've not recognized that the community needs community center as well. Granted, the late Bradley Roberts did have a Bain and Grants Down Community Center, well, actually, Grants Down Community Center on, I think it's Peter Street, down from the police station.
Mm-hmm.
There is a building that bears community center.
Right.
You get 30 people in there, the building's full.
Oh.
So that's not the same thing. So I think the community of Bain and Grants Down deserves a proper community center as well. But outside of that, we need to be able to find more affordable ways for persons to get the things they desire in terms of their home, but making the smart decisions with it as well. I don't want to see us trying to chase the rainbow with these homes anymore. I mean, why are we still building 6,000 and 7,000 square foot houses? I don't know. People have the money for them, fine. But when people don't have the money for them, and I see plans for them all the time, I'm like, do you know what this costs?
Yeah.
But someone told me, when they say stop right there, when we start with the someone told you.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the someone who told you? Well, my friend, stop right there. Was your friend a contractor? Was your friend a builder? Was your friend an architect, engineer? No, just my friend. Okay. So you're gonna be leveled by the time you get this real cost to build this thing.
Well, I also found, now, you know, I haven't built new home construction for a while because I just don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But I would found that a lot of there was things that needed to be done. You know, even before you close, if you're in an area where you have underground electricity, you know, your cable is going to cost you. My daughter, Muffy, her cable was less than like 20 feet, and it was $6,000.
Yeah.
Right. So there's these things you have to pay for, right? And then you say, well, how are you going to do this? Are you going to do guttering? Are you going to do to reserve water, mm-hmm. or are you going to, you know, are you going to do, what kind of landscaping are you going to do, and all that kind of stuff? And I keep saying, well, you got to berm the property, like mm-hmm. have everything higher so that the water runs off, so the water doesn't end up settling at your foundation and all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. Oh, no. Well, you know, we borrowed an extra like $10,000, but that's for furniture. Well, I don't know about you, but when we moved in our house, we had mattresses on the floor in one room, and we all slept in that room wow. until each of the other rooms could had, once the tiles were there, mm-hmm. then that person could move into that room, was to get the real bed and get a dresser, mm-hmm. right? But that's basically how we had to do it, because there was other things that were more important than that.
The entire house, yeah.
You know what I mean? But some people don't know they have to have that and the curtains, and they have to have all of it.
Well, I think if you could afford to do it one shot.
If you can yeah. afford to, but if you drive by the house a year later and you see that the place is still a mess and it's still just dirt and
not nothing, mm-hmm.
and you're going to be driving your car in there and mm-hmm. your car is going to be dusty. And mm-hmm. I mean, there's, you know, the dust is going to get in your house, which people don't think about until they live there, mm-hmm. right? It's just you have to really consider what you're going to do with your money, you know.
And I think that goes to the further challenge of the desire of every Bahamian to have something they call their own, mm-hmm. and the limitations of the opportunities of home ownership outside of the house and lot. And that's why we've been talking about it now for the last two shows. Mm-hmm. The product has to evolve. So there's more offerings, because it's disproportionate to the income levels of so many Bahamians mm-hmm. who cannot afford mm-hmm. to purchase a lot and finance the construction of a home. The banks are largely unwilling, although they are able, but generally they're declining their appetite. Their appetite is getting smaller and smaller for construction mortgages. And I feel so as well. Let me paint the picture for the Bahamian public. You get this couple or a single person. They went to an attorney and a realtor, put license, and they got their property.
Right.
They're now paying the bank on that property, or they bought it outright cash. Mm-hmm. They went to an architect, whose license. Mm-hmm. They got the plans drawn, submitted to the Ministry of Work, got a permit. Engineer involved, got a permit mm-hmm. to build something. Now they got a quote from the guy called Billy. Mm-hmm. Billy has a business license for construction. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it exactly what he has. He has a business license for construction. That's what it says. No business license says contractor on it.
Mm-hmm. But the business license is contractor on it. Well, it says that yes, you're gonna open up a business.
For construction.
Right.
For construction. Right. So mine says, if yours says, it doesn't say contemporary homes, contractor. It does not say that.
No.
It says contemporary home, license for construction. Now, the English language is interesting. If I say this meal is for 12 o'clock, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that I'm a chef. Doesn't mean that I prepared it. I just told you what the meal is for. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the business license for construction. Mm-hmm. So now Billy is in front of his client. Yeah, I can build this house. How much square foot it is? 1,500 square foot. Billy estimates it's 1,500 square foot. The house costs $100,000. Mm-hmm. Now, he does not know that when he measures out all the material and prices out and get quotes from all the suppliers and so on, this house costs $165,000, but he says he's going to build it for $100,000. Goes to the bank. This is why I say the bank has to understand their risk factor as well. He tells the bank, I can build this for $100,000. The bank and the client agree. Okay, we're going to let you build it. And the construction mortgage starts. And then, to the disappointment of most, but not all, because we know it was garbage, he falls short. He spends $100,000, but the house needs another $65,000 to complete. Now the bank's in the dilemma. They have a product that, while they can sell, they don't make the money selling it like that. they get the money in the long run on the mortgage repayment.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so they're not happy with this situation. Then they got the client who's frustrated, who's crying, who's just out the wits end because now they're paying a mortgage for a house they can't occupy.
Right.
And you know why they can't occupy the house? They don't have an occupancy certificate. Right. You know why they don't have an occupancy certificate? The house is incompleted. So now, think about this scenario. This poor client and the bank, both of them are at loss. Bank can't sell the thing for the money they hope to get from a mortgage. The client can't have the quiet possession and enjoyment of the home.
The only thing the bank could really do is the fact the house has already been done, that there's more equity in it than before, so therefore we could lend you some more money.
Which maybe, because what you're talking about, you're overexposed now.
Well, yes.
Yeah. I mean, because now the bank is overexposed.
If you only make so much money and your partner only makes so much money and you've got school fees to pay and you've got insurance and everything else to pay and you've already budgeted out, but you have to come up with another mortgage of $60,000, your payment may be another $1,200 a month.
A month.
Right? Where's that money going to come from?
And finally, not only did that, Debbie, the banks are overextended now.
Uh-huh.
The banks may have a capitalization on it for $200,000. They lent you the $200,000. Now you need another $65,000. They're exposed now. So this has not been a great scenario. But producer, I hear our music on, so we can come back after this short break from our sponsors. So we'll be back on Guardian Radio.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
Tired of fixing those roof leaks over and over again? Paint Suppliers has the answer for you. Now you can fix it once and for all with Total Roof, a 100% silicone roof coating applied with just one coat. It will seal out all your roof leaks, is mildew resistant, easy to apply in just one coat, and makes your roof surface temperature up to 75 degrees cooler. It's guaranteed for 50 years and can be applied to virtually any roof. The amazing Total Roof, only at Paint Suppliers in the Jolly Roger Building at number 130 Shirley Street. Total Roof, the last roof coating you'll ever need.
The years following independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has carried out our mandate of expanding and diversifying the nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama in the north to Inagua in the south. Our clients come from all sectors of domestic industry. We are proud to support local manufacturing, technology, agricultural projects, and creative works that draw from our native heritage. We will continue to finance inter-island transport from the mailboats of yesterday to the ships of the future. Let us power the possibilities of the new economy together. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website at www.bdb.gov.bs to complete your application today.
The all-new CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points with every online purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant, available 24/7. You can even select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, job site, or the mailboat. Our family island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with the new CBSBahamas.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back on Guardian 96.9 FM. And this show, of course, is an interactive show, and it's Debbie and I in the studio. But the numbers for you to participate in the show are as follows. Our telephone lines are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And from the Family Islands, it is 242-300-5720. And if you want to join the conversation by text, powered by BTC, the text phone number is 422-4796.
Yes. And again, it's not the Debbie and Leonard show.
It is not.
It is not. And yes, you may only hear us talk about certain things, but we're talking about it from the for the entire industry. But we also have some amazing sponsors, and we would not be able to do this show if it wasn't for our sponsors. So the sponsors that we have this week are ART.
Development Company. Mm-hmm. A wonderful. They got their partners in Eleuthera doing the FRP Institute of the Bahamas and FRP Institute Technology Seminar, and that's mm-hmm. on February 9th in Rock Sound, Eleuthera.
That's amazing.
Congratulations to them.
Yes, we have Bahamas Safety Solutions.
Always safety, safety. If you're going to do construction, you got to be safe about it, or else it's going to cost you a whole lot more.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then CBS Bahamas.
CBS Bahamas, where you go for all your construction supplies, tools, hardware. Ask Brent for a special discount if you're a BCA member.
Yes. So thank you very much for making sure that that happened for us.
So going back to our scenario about, you know, why the banks are timid about, you know, residential construction mortgages. Mm-hmm. It's because they understand that the individuals who are offering that service are not licensed contractors. They're a licensed contractor, but they're not licensed. So there's a whole degree of risk and exposure there. We got a call. Let's take this caller. Call you live. Call you live. Go ahead.
Hey, good night. How you doing, sir?
Doing well, man.
All right, first time calling on a very interesting show.
Thank you for
I'm
calling
glad
in.
I heard you
said earlier that when you get a license to do construction, you said yes, it says construction license. Was
it just says for construction.
For construction.
Yes. Nobody has a license. Nobody's a licensed contractor.
Contractor.
Yeah. Now I know we believe that you do have a license. But you don't have a license because the agency that would license a contractor is not yet established. The business license department is the agency that licenses businesses, all businesses, not individuals based on their capacity or professional acumen.
So, right. They don't give the doctor the license to actually be a doctor.
Doctor.
They only give the doctor to say that this is the doctor's clinic, and that's the business license
the business
for the doctor's clinic.
Of the clinic.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, but listen, you guys, I mean, because I listen to Guardian Radio every chance I get, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like these are easy fixes.
They are. You join in our chorus. These are easy fixes, scholar. The government has had the responsibility for almost 10 years now. May 8th, 2026 would make 10 years since the passing of the Construction Contractors Act. And then 10 years since the appointment of the board has not occurred under any administration, the F&M first, and now the PLP administration has got the ball, and time is dwindling down. And they got to look at the scoreboard and see how many seconds left on the clock, and then they join that dubious history of governments that did not appoint a board for a duly instituted legislation that is passed in Parliament of Bahamas.
And they only have to choose three different persons to put on the board. And the money is already there because last year in the budget on page 151, they did a stipend of $50,000 for the professional contractors, which was for the actual setting up of the board and the office. And then naturally, starting January, had everybody been
appointed,
entered and licensed, the funds from that would be what would actually sustain the actual board in perpetuity.
Right. It's very concerning, right? I'm not one of those persons who believe the MP should be giving me monies or doing this, that, right? I mean, they're supposed to make laws to make the people thrive.
That's what they should do, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's a general sense for me that we're not doing that in Parliament. Because if you're telling me that everybody has a license just to be in construction, but there's no specific license, say, I can build a two-story house. I can build, this truck. That's unbelievable.
It is. And, Carla, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Let's look at it the other way. Let's flip it around.
Right.
You don't think, and I'm quite sure you have a friend. Do you have a friend who's in construction, who's a contractor?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. I do as well. Debbie does as well.
He's a civil engineer. Yeah, he knows he's good.
But could you imagine the level of then pride that individuals in construction, whether they are qualified through education or otherwise, would have if they have this license that they could hang on the wall and say, I am a licensed contractor established by the board, established by the government of the Bahamas. See, that's what you don't have. And that's why there's no pride in the work. And that's how I feel about it, caller. There's no pride in the work. Because you're not licensed to be prideful. Look at everyone else who's licensed. Doctors, lawyers, accountants, engineers, all those operate with some level of professional standard because they're licensed to do so.
Plumbers, electricians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We actually have to hire.
There's a talk show today. They're talking about the hospital and some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how, we have the funds, but we just put somebody in the logistics. I mean, do we need a Ministry of Logistics?
I think we have. It's called the something in the OPM, the something operation unit or something. I don't know. Something with that. I thought they were dealing with logistics.
But see what I'm saying? These simple things, right? Okay, let me give you an example, right? I went away to school and my mother part took me away to North Carolina in 1992. It was a basketball trip. You know, we drove from Florida to North Carolina, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I got there, my old man gave me like $400. So, I was excited. Never been to the States before. So we were going to the mall, right? So when we got by the dorms, next day I was ready to go to the mall. So I said, man, let's go again to the bus stop. So the guy's like, no, man. The bus stop have a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you go then, the bus ain't coming at a certain time. What I'm saying is 1992.
Wow.
But
you had a bus.
Just 34 years later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I'm saying is that the things, like, it seems so simple.
Mm-hmm.
By an act of legislation. The MP is supposed to make laws to cause the economy to thrive. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see the MP.
No.
I don't need no money. Nobody fix my roof. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I agree with you.
These are simple. Simple things that we're not doing.
Carla, it's persons like you who continue to call into the show and voice your concern about what should be happening in our community to cause there to be the change that we all hope for. And I say change because we just need the persons who represent us in the parliament to understand that this is where we are looking at and we want them to do something about it. So we absolutely thank you for your call. We got a text, Debbie, from one of our favorite texts of the show. It says, Leonard, the bank is never truly at a loss because the lending process is designed to eliminate that risk from the start. The customer, the banker, and the bank-approved appraiser work together to ensure that the loan is based on a conservative value that already factors in resale or forced sale value. What do you think with that, Debbie?
I didn't know that.
So, text also writes, the bank is never truly at a loss because the lender has designed it. Okay, so that's the same one there. So but it says, Debbie, loan-to-value limits equity requirements and stage disbursements further protect the bank's exposure. As a banker, I've seen that by the time a construction loan is approved, worst-case scenarios are already modeled, ensuring the bank's protection is protected, even if something goes wrong.
Well, okay, so I want to go back to the very first thing that you said about the bank. Mm-hmm. If they are totally protected and they think that they have the right price and then they find out that they don't have the right price, right? That hearing that the bank is already protected doesn't make me feel good because they've already protected themselves and they don't really give a crap if the client is going to have enough money to build that house or not. Yeah. That's what I'm hearing.
That's what you're hearing.
As a contractor, that's what I'm hearing.
You're right, and they don't care if you go belly up building the house, too.
Thank you.
We got an next caller on the line. Let's listen to this caller. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Yes, how you doing?
Doing well, man.
Good, thanks.
Okay. So, like, piggyback on your last caller.
Mm-hmm.
When you live in a culture, a hyped-up political one.
Very.
Where a person with no... who is not even qualified to be a boss,
mm-hmm.
can be elevated to a position of power.
Mm-hmm.
You start to understand how deep our problems run.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, too many of the persons in government would not even be where they are or living the lifestyle they are living, if not for political influence. When say young persons who go off and come back, mm-hmm. and they
waking
find
on.
Themselves
mm-hmm.
subjected
yeah.
to these idiots. Yeah, you see why the folks say, well, I think I better stay
over the next slide.
In the UK
yeah.
or China.
Not in the US.
No.
No.
Not in the US
now.
No. See, listen here. If you go to school in America,
mm-hmm.
you are being prepared to work within that culture.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the persons who go away, they don't consider what they are bringing back.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just spoke with a friend of mine. He's a bank manager
mm-hmm.
now, right? But he went off to be a pharmacist.
Now, there's a switch.
Mm-hmm.
There's a switch.
I think, in the government workplaces, there needs to be some kind of level of accountability as to who sits in the seat as a manager.
Mm-hmm.
Because our police force is a far bigger problem. You know, each 5 years it's like the top
brass gets. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they go kicked out and kicked back in.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm enjoying the conversation.
All right. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, man. Please continue to call in. Go ahead, Debbie.
When you consider You know, the gentleman was talking about the police force and all of these different other issues that we have. When you're building a building, or you're building a bridge, a seawall, a road, a runway, you know, hospital, when you're building all of these things, you're right, right? You're not licensed, but you're doing them anyways, right? And I know, Leonard, you and I have a lot of pride in our work. And we're not going to do half a job because we don't care. We're going to do 110% or 120% because we do care, right? But you end up with a lot of persons that are building that are not, I don't know, it's kind of like somebody who says that they're a lawyer, but they're not a lawyer. So they give you advice and it's not the wrong advice, right? Mm-hmm. Or you go to a skin doctor or something like that to have something done and come to find out they don't have a license or anything either, right? So what we're doing is, if we build something that is going to fall down, mm-hmm. that somebody is going to get hurt, that the building is not going to last. I mean, mm-hmm. I hear them, politicians talk about, well, a building should only last 30-something years. Hello, no. Buildings should last hundreds of years. And there are buildings in this country that prove that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very important to have a contractor who knows and is licensed, and that the license gives them better credibility, but it also gives them
protection
and for the person who they're building for has protection. So we really need to start understanding how valuable this is. If you build a seawall and that thing falls down the first hurricane because the footing wasn't done properly, who's going to suffer?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to pay for it? Somebody has to pay for it.
And
it's us.
I really like that we try our best to get persons to understand the importance of the protections in legislation. Mm-hmm. The Road Traffic Act gives every road user the same and equal protection. That is, someone runs into your truck and you have insurance and they have insurance, that matter is easily settled. The insurance has taken care of it.
Right.
The person who doesn't have insurance and still runs into your vehicle for the Road Traffic Act has obligations to you, and your insurance will cover you and or something that happens. That's why following the law in regard to these things are important. The Construction Contractors Act has the same kind of conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the many conversations that I've had with stakeholders, with persons about the Act and about what people don't understand about the Act, I find to be the most interesting is that a lot of persons are comfortable with things as it is, not recognizing the grave degree of exposure everyone is in.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, not just some, everyone. Mm-hmm. Because nobody really considers, what if something goes wrong? Because it hasn't, but it can, because of lack of skill set or training. Mm-hmm. And I want the public to understand this. Debbie and I speak about this personally and passionately because we represent an organization that for the past 60 plus years had been advocating for the professionalism of construction. Because around the world, it's a profession.
It is.
And we deserve to treat it as such in the Bahamas as well.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, because it has very little barriers to entry, that should scare people. And I want this to be sober for persons. Let's not talk to construction. Just imagine if medicine had the simple barrier to entry as getting a business license.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be a doctor. You wouldn't be a doctor, but we could.
Right.
There are some people brave enough to go and be a doctor, not having the skills to be a doctor and help people. That's the same thing that's happening every day in construction. People enter the space who work for banks, who work for insurance companies, who got tossed off the job as a security officer and just decide, you know what, I like the way all that looks, and I want to be a carpenter. I want to be a contractor tomorrow too. Mm-hmm. Or my buddy, he's at the ministry or wherever, and he could give me a sweet deal, and I'm going to be a contractor. Mm-hmm. And I say all this to say, because the barrier to entry is zero.
Correct.
And that's honestly, let me say this in public radio. If I wanted tomorrow to create a fake name, create all kind of, I could get a business license for every single one of my friends, all 500 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no barrier to entry.
Yeah.
There's nothing. So I need people to understand.
You just have to have $150.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I need you to understand, because of that, you should be concerned, and not just you, the banks, the insurance companies,
yes,
people who engage these funds should be concerned that there's a lot of things that can go wrong because who you're doing business with may not have a clue about what you're contracting them to build.
Plus, because the Act actually requires insurance, right? Which we, by the way,
yeah,
for the listening public, we have actually gone to actually know Jackie Gardner from Kalina, heard we were on the show, came here and came in and sat down and said, I can fix this for you.
Yeah,
and she has formed a group insurance
general liability, yeah.
Yes, for anybody who is a member of the Bahamian Contractors Association, mm-hmm, with the indemnity insurance and the contractors, yeah, all risk. And it's done on a sliding scale. Yeah. Nobody has ever done that before, but we have done that to make sure that that when this thing happens, everybody could actually be in the business,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I know I lost my train of thought.
Yeah. So I think to close off your thought, we continue to advocate every day for professionalism, mm-hmm, hence mm-hmm, why we push the insurances,
right,
why we push the requirements of having liability insurance, why we push for professionals in space to be licensed, and why we ask for the government to appoint the board so we could have licensed professional contractors,
right,
in the country.
I was thinking about the job in Adam,
mm-hmm,
okay? The contractor did not have insurance.
Yeah.
And the government ended up having to pay again for the bill. These are the kind of things that would never happen with that act in if the board was chosen.
Yeah, yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have made our evening very special. Thank you for all the callers that called in. We've had a delightful discussion.
I think, love this show.
I think we had a rock star show today. And I think
that
the public is starting to understand why we are here every week advocating for what we advocate for. Because it will be the best thing that will happen to them and for them
and
through construction.
And for the country.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, that's us.
Good night, Bahamas.
Good night, Bahamas.
We don't regret anything, and now it's the two of us again, against the wind, against the wind. When the rain fell and the flood came and the wind blew hard like a hammer on me, fall, we didn't crack or break or fall. We built this house on a rock.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing to agriculture to the creative industries to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.